hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And all the praise and all the glory belongs to him. Amen. Amen. Remain standing for the scripture reading, Romans chapter 12, back to a passage a couple of weeks ago. Before I get into this, one thing I need to mention, two things, is happy anniversary to R.W. and Miss Lila. Many of you were at their celebration yesterday. 70 years. 70 years. Let me repeat that. 70 years. I'm not a young man anymore. Or I'm not as young as I would like to be anymore. But they've been married a lot longer than I'm alive. Just saying. Miss Lila is still as pretty as she was the day she got married. Can't say so much for R.W. Saw the pictures. We love this couple and are blessed to have them as part of our church family. I'm going to switch now back to my mic. All right. Romans chapter 12, and we'll read through the entire chapter because as I began preparing for this week's message and talking about transformation and being transformed, I started thinking about it in terms of, okay, what is this transformation? When we say transformed throughout this year, what does this transformation look like when we say we're transformed by the renewing of our mind? And actually, the scripture reading that you see up there, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, verses 9 through 13, that was at the beginning. We started looking at it, really, we got to cover the whole chapter to get the full picture here, all right? We won't do it all this morning. This is part one, so relax, all right? Romans chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to be soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation,
continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Be seated, please. As we've talked about this topic, this theme of transform, and Paul writes that we are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, what is that a picture of? That's a picture of our coming to faith in Christ and the change that Christ makes in one's life. So as we begin to unwrap this and unpack what this transformation is, and then what is it to look like? What, when we say transform, many of us go, yeah, I'm transformed. I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I know Christ is my Savior. I know what he's done in my life. Let me ask you this. How much further do we need to go when we talk about being transformed? What does this transformation really look like? Or what should it really look like? I think sometimes we all tend to fall short. You know, sometimes I've known Christians who like to pick and choose what transformation they want. As long as the transformation agrees with what they want to do, as long as the transformation is in agreement with what they want to think, then they just pick and choose. Well, it's kind of like a smorgasbord of transformation. But when we think about a transformation and how God transforms our life and how our life should be built upon faith in Christ and what Christ has done and the work that he did on the cross, and when we come to him in faith, believing and trusting in what he did because he loved us so much that he died on the cross for us, and that if we come to him in faith and repentance, he will forgive us of our sin. He will make us a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are new. And Paul says, it's the love of Christ that constrains me. It's the love of Christ, in other words, that motivates me. When we think about this idea of being transformed and what the transformation looks like, it should be rooted in God's love for us, his work in us, Christ's work through us, and the Holy Spirit's changes. He convicts us and works in our life as we become more conformed to the image of Christ. Amen. We are to be Christian in the literal sense, as it's defined in the book of Acts, when he says they were first called Christians at Antioch. What they were doing, how they lived, their faith in Christ was evident. And it ought to be evident in our life. So what does this transformation look like? I kind of put it transformation in action. What does this transformation look like? When we see and we read, be not conformed to this world. Well, let me tell you, you're starting out. It doesn't look anything like the world. Think about that. He says, be not conformed to this world. Now we're trying to say, okay, what is this, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what does this transformation look like? Well, he says, be not conformed to this world. So one thing I can assure you, it doesn't look like the world. Think about that. Think about the church in America today. And how much the church today, those who profess to be followers of Christ, look more and more like the world. How come today that the divorce rate in the church oftentimes exceeds what they show up today statistically out in the world because they don't take in consideration cohabitation and those things that come into play. But nonetheless, one thing that a transformation in our life is not to look like, it's not to look like the world. Be not conformed to this world. We've given you the definition of that. Don't allow the world to press you into its mold. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You get over to Romans chapter 8, it talks about the things we're to think about, and talks about who we are in Christ, and other separation from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Man, what a great motivation to live for God. To see this transformation in our life come to fruition in the respect of it relates and translates into action. That there's some things in our life that we choose to do because we love God. Not because, not out of duty, not because of, well, God's not going to love me if I don't do this. God's going to look down on me if I don't have my checklist and I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do this. Listen, you start getting into legalism there. But when you think about the grace of God, grace and unmerited favor of God, there's nothing you did to deserve the forgiveness we have received in Christ when we place our faith and trust in Him. There's nothing that you can do to earn it or merit it. But God so loved the world. He so loved you. He so loved me that He gave. Transformation in action. First of all, it affects our surrender. It affects our surrender. Look what Paul writes. Now remember, last week we talked about the Apostle Paul and the transformation, the radical transformation that took place in his life. So as he's writing in Romans, this is very, very real to him. As he's writing, moved by the Holy Spirit of God, when he writes Romans chapter 12, even though it wasn't broken down in chapters and verses when he wrote it, as he writes his letter, think about where he came from. Saul of Tarsus, persecuting the church, has a radical transformation on the road to Damascus, and now he says, I beseech you, I implore you, I challenge you, I want you to understand, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. All right, think about that. He's challenging, he's encouraging, he's imploring them by the mercies of God. He understood the mercy of God. He had been persecuting the church. He had been killing Christians. He had been holding the coats of those that stoned Stephen. He had been involved in all these things. He had gone to the high priest, the chief high priest, and getting a letter, a writ to be able to go and to kill Christians. And he says, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Put your place in Paul's shoes. Think about it. You've gone around, you're persecuting the church, you're killing Christians, and all of a sudden you have a fresh encounter with Christ, and He changes your heart and your life, and you realize you've been forgiven of all those atrocities that you have performed against God's people. And you've been forgiven of your sin, and He says, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, because He understood, He had experienced God's mercy, because He knew who He was, where He was, and what He was, and now He knows who He is in Christ. And here's what He said. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, here's the transformation in action, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Understand, he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can go back and directly connect it to what he's saying in verse 1 when he says, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Think about the goodness of God in your life. Think about what God has forgiven you of. Think about how God has transformed your life. I beseech you I challenge you, I implore you, I ask you, I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now think about that. He's writing to the brethren. He's writing to Christians. And he says, I want you to present your bodies. I'm challenging you to present your bodies. Sounds to me like that some Christians choose not to present themselves a living sacrifice. And yet we should. But oftentimes we don't. We've been transformed, but we haven't allowed the effects of the transformation to affect our surrender. We say, Lord, that's a little song. We sing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Transformation in action. We present ourselves a living sacrifice. Here's the other part of it. Holy. And notice it's not W-H-O-L-Y. It's not, even though we ought to wholly, completely present ourselves. You can't just go and present your arm. My arm's going to be righteous, the rest of me is not. No, it's H-O-L-Y. Remember what I said just a minute ago? I can tell you what transformation doesn't look like. It doesn't look like the world. Now I can tell you what it does look like when we present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy. You see, in the scriptures we read, he says, be you holy, for I am holy. Holiness plays a part. As we have been transformed, and as we live this life, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, this is what this looks like. There's a presentation of us choosing, because of the mercies of God, because of his love, we present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy. Holy. And here's why. Because he says, holy. Righteous, living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Not out of duty, out of humility and out of thankfulness. Holy, notice this word, acceptable unto God. So what that tells us is that unholiness is not acceptable to God. You see that? Because he says we're to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And then I like this part. I've always liked this phrase. Which is your reasonable service? How many of you ever felt that you've been asked to do things from time to time that just seem really unreasonable? Don't you hate that? I mean, somebody, you know, you're in the middle of something, somebody comes to ask you to do something, you say, and it just seems like it's far beyond and exceeds your ability to where you go, that just is really unreasonable. I don't want to do that. But Paul sums it up. Paul has, he's been on the other side of the tracks, if you please. And he says, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable thing. Isn't that what he says? Which is your reasonable service. So you see, transformation in action, first of all, it affects our surrender. When we understand our transformation and what's taking place in our life, and the forgiveness of God, and the grace of God, and the love of God, there's not a one of us that doesn't deserve hell. There's not a one of us that doesn't deserve condemnation. Even in our best, the Bible says our righteousness in the sight of God is as filthy rags. You see, we said just a couple weeks ago when we talked about a biblical worldview, we talked about the number one characteristic of God, attribute of God, is his holiness. And out of his holiness flows a lot of things. And he says, this is a reasonable thing. It affects our surrender. We said, Lord, thank you for saving me. Lord, thank you for redeeming me. Lord, thank you for making me your child. And I present myself a living sacrifice. When I'm at work, I'm going to live for you. When I'm engaging other people around me, I'm going to live for you. When I engage in conversation that I know it's not necessarily pleasing to you, Lord, I'm going to try to redirect that conversation and share your love and your grace. Why? Because of the mercies of God in my life. Because of the love of God he's given me. Because of the forgiveness. Because he's taken an old broken down sinner and has redeemed him, forgiven him sin, and made him a new creation. It affects our surrender. Transformation action not only affects our surrender, it affects our service. You see, when we understand this transformation, when we say, when Paul writes, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it means you just think about things totally different. You see, you won't think about, well, I'm just too busy to serve the Lord. It changes the way you serve. I don't have time to live for the Lord. Transformed by the renewing of our mind. We think about things differently. Then what does he say? Well, look at me in verse number 1 again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. So let me ask you a rhetorical question. Who are you going to live for? Are you going to live for self and your satisfaction, or are you going to live for Jesus? Present our bodies, by the mercies of God, present our bodies a living sacrifice. Living, there's an action. We live, we breathe, we go about our business, we do our things, but we are a living sacrifice. What does that mean? What are we going to sacrifice? Let me just throw a few ideas out here at you. How about our own personal agenda? You see, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, there's some things that we may have our own agenda and things that we want to do, but we know, number one, there's something God's calling us to do and wanting us to do. We need to be a living sacrifice. Make sense? You with me? Y'all gotten awful quiet. I'm just reminding you, this is just part one, okay? We're going to finish up here pretty quick. Look with me in verse number 3. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So let's just stop right there. When we talk about affects our service won't be done out of pride. It will be done from a heart of humility. Gratefulness. Notice what he says. But to think soberly, ready, alert, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Let me tell you something about your transformation. You've been transformed by the grace of God. You're saved. You're his child. You're assured for heaven as if you were already there. But let me tell you, he's left you here for a reason. If he was done with you, if you had accomplished everything he wanted you to accomplish, He'd take you home. And here's what this transformation looks like in action. It affects our surrender, and it affects our service. If we will get the surrender right, I think you'll probably get the service right. But the reason why many haven't got the service right is because you're not completely surrendered to what God wants in your life. Here's what he says. He says that he's given to each one a measure of faith. He's given to each one the ability and a gift to use for his purposes of spreading the good news. What is our purpose? What is the purpose of the church? When you read the scriptures and what we are to be about, we are to be about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ lived, he died on the cross, he paid the sin debt for all humanity, he was buried in a borrowed tomb, he rose again the third day, and he sits at the right hand of the throne of God, ever to make intercession for us. And if we will come to faith in him and ask him to forgive us of our sins and place our faith and trust in him and call upon him to be our Savior, he'll save us, he'll make us his child. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Think about that. We surrender, present ourselves a living sacrifice, and then he's given to each one of us a measure of faith. He's given each one of us a job to do within the body. He says we are many members in one body. And he says each member individually has its own function. I remember some years ago, I heard of a comedian, and I can't present it like he did because it was really funny, but he said, you know, I think we got the way the body's all manufactured and how it's put together a little bit wrong. I think it'd be great to have the eyeball at the end of the finger. He said, that way when you're going around a corner, you look around a corner and see what's coming. Or if you drop something under the table, you can get down there and you can look at it without ever having to bend over, you know. And he had a whole line of stuff like that. Let me just tell you, we know that God has put this body together, and the members of our physical body, each one has its purpose. Each thing gives you the ability to do certain things. You know, it's amazing to me when these veterans come back and through the atrocities of war where they've lost limbs, and it's amazing to me to watch them really bounce back, and they may have lost a leg, but they go through rigorous rehab and they're able to walk again because of a prosthetic piece. And thank God for people who are smart and able to put all that together and enable them to be able to do that. But if you think about it just from our physical bodies, if we don't have our legs, man, that hinders what our ability is able to do. We can't walk as well. We can't walk sometimes at all. You know, I've had friends who have had an arm that was gone, and there were certain tasks that they were called on that was very difficult for them to do because they only had one arm. I have met people and been around people who didn't have all of their fingers. I remember traveling and singing, we stayed in the home of a sweet, sweet lady. And the only thing, she had a thumb and she had a pinky, and that was it. And she fixed us one of the most wonderful dinners that evening. But it was a challenge for her. And can I tell you, in the body of Christ, in the church, when we are not surrendered like we should be, we haven't allowed the transformation to be in action and affect our surrender, we haven't allowed it to affect our service, listen to me, the body suffers. And the work God's called us to do becomes more challenging. I always get humored by when somebody wants to complain about the church not growing as fast, or the church not doing this, the church not doing that. And then, nine times, not always, sometimes there's some legitimate concerns. I'm not discounting that at all. Been here 35 years. There's been quite a few legitimate concerns, all right? maybe even including about the pastor, but we won't get into that today. All right, we'll go to that. But nonetheless, here's the thing. A lot of times when people complain, it's the ones that are not surrendered and they're the ones not serving. And they have this hired gun mentality. Oh, the staff's supposed to do it. Have you seen our staff? Sometimes they can't get out of their own way, including the pastor. Now, I say that tongue-in-cheek for our guests. We have a great staff. I was telling my wife this morning, they were texting back and forth about the Sunday school thing we were doing, the Bible study hour thing. And I walked in to our bedroom, Brenda's finished getting ready. I said, we got a great staff. The chemistry on our staff is really, really great. And they were picking at each other. They were laughing via text and stuff. It's great. We have a great staff. They're very capable men. All right, so I don't want to impugn them. I'm being a little humorous to kind of keep you in here. But it's not a hired gun mentality. It's not dependent upon the staff. Because the staff can't do it all. And I will tell you, our staff has stepped up when they've needed to step up, and many times it's been very challenging. Because not everybody in the body is functioning like they need to. You know, that shameful ad for the children's ministry by that children's pastor. Or shameless, I should say. We need people to serve in that ministry. We need people to serve in the youth ministry. We need people to serve in the worship ministry. I mean, the choir looked good this morning. I mean, but we can't be satisfied with that. We look at our church and the people, you know, we have A, B, and C shift that come, you know. I think this is the A shift this morning. And we have some people out. They're sick, some people out of town and different things. But when we are not serving and we haven't allowed this transformation, being transformed to affect our surrender and to affect our service, it's challenging to do what God has called us to do. You can get over to Romans chapter 12 because of time. I'm not going to go there this morning. But you get over and read Romans chapter 12. It says the eye can't say it can do without the hand. The foot can't say it can do without the ear. It say one part of the body can't say it can survive without the other. And we can't survive as the church, as the people of God, the body of Christ, without you serving and finding the gift that God has given you to serve him in this place. I thank God for, we have a lot of people, our deacons that are plugged in different areas. We have you sitting out there, many of you teaching Sunday school and helping out in the Bible study hour and with the kids. Thank God for you. I thank you. And for those of you who's trying to find your place, find it. And thank you for looking. Allow this transformation to take action in your life. Surrender yourself and then serve him. When you look at these gifts, read a commentary, one of them said the first few gifts are about expounding the word of God. And then the last year are about expanding the work of God. And I said this as part one because when you think about the renewing of our mind, our thought process has changed. And he talks about those that prophesy, prophesy. Those that teach, teach. That's expounding on the word of God. And then he says those who have the gift of giving, give. Our transformation should be transformed in our giving. That's expanding the work of God. Let me ask you the question. Number one, have you been transformed? Number two, have you allowed this transformation to be applied in your life? And is your transformation in action? With heads bowed and eyes closed.